In this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
This is the I Spy Radio Show.
You and I have a rendezvous with destiny.
Keeping an eye on big government.
We the people tell the government what to do. It doesn't tell us.
The trouble with our liberal friends is not that they're ignorant. It's just that they know so much that isn't so.
And now, here is your host, Mark Anderson.
Listeners of iSpy Radio will remember that a couple years back, there was a lawsuit in Washington County brought by Tim Sipple to get access to the county voter roll database. Washington County refused, which is weird. It's a database made up of public information, but they wouldn't let him have it. So the Washington County District Attorney got involved. He said, of course you can have it. It's public information. But Washington County refused to hand it over. At that point, things began to get a little suspicious. When you're resisting that much, flags will be raised. Washington County went to Oregon's Attorney General, who not only supported Washington County, but then sued Tim Sipple, apparently for daring to ask. As if that's not suspicious enough, the Secretary of State also threw their weight in. Again, this should be a simple database, names, addresses, party affiliation, some voting history, that sort of thing. What was the big deal? But the private contractor who was managing the database said there was proprietary information in it, which is also suspicious. What could be proprietary about a database filled with data supplied to them by the county? Things continued to get weird at court. During the trial, they rejected Tim's expert witness, Dr. Douglas Frank, not because he didn't understand data, but because he didn't have a degree in politics. The lawsuit never made sense. Why would a county and the Oregon DA and the Secretary of State all be working that desperately hard to hide access to a database? But now, after last week's show, that lawsuit makes a lot more sense, because you would block access to a simple database if there were things hidden in it, like a secret logarithm. Last week, we talked with Peter Ticton, the attorney representing the Republican in Florida 14, who was challenging the results of that race. In the process of investigating, they uncovered cloned voters. These clones are fake people based on real people with minor changes in names, like different spellings, different birth dates and addresses. Multiple unlimited clones can be copied off of just one real person. Potentially, those committing the fraud can manufacture unlimited clones in digital databases. Ticton's office estimates there could be at least 2 million cloned voters nationwide, and perhaps far more. To defeat the algorithm that put clone voters on the rolls, the Ticton team has also developed another algorithm to scan the rolls and identify cloned voters. They found that whoever created these clones in the voter rolls was using sophisticated encryption on a level that the National Security Agency might use. To talk further about this, I'd like to welcome Dr. Jerome Corsi back to the show. He is the author of about 30 books, including two New York Times bestsellers. He is also the founder and CEO of CorsiNation.com. We'll link that up on iSpyRadio.com. Today's show is 15-11. Dr. Corsi, it is great to talk to you again.
I'm looking forward to the interview. Thank you very much.
Yeah, absolutely. So aside from the Peter Ticton lawsuit, this is happening in other states. And you, in fact, have your own direct hands-on experience with this, because last year in August in 2024, you approached the state of Ohio with the findings of Dr. Paquette with evidence of this kind of fraud. So to help our audience understand a bit better about how these algorithms work to insert fictitious voters, talk to us about how you and your associates found this fraud.
Well, first of all, I want people to go to the website, which is godsfivestones.com. Comes after, of course, the David and Goliath story, David picking up the right five stones to get Goliath.
And his brothers.
And his brothers. We want to pick up the right five stones to get the election integrity issue squared away, where we have honest voting. So Gods, it's G-O-D-S, no apostrophe, and you spell out the word five, F-I-V-E, and stones is plural, Gods and all together, godsfivestones.com. Now, to answer your question, the computer genius that figured this out was Andrew Paquette. And this goes back to really the summer and about June in 2024, when I was contacted by an attorney in Ohio, Tom Connors of the Mendenhall Law Firm in Akron. And Tom was doing some work for a client on voter integrity in Ohio. And he said he had this paper from Andrew Paquette, who is a a graphic illustrator, really brilliant graphic illustrator on computers and with extensive experience. And he had discovered that there were codes in the state board of election computers, the servers on which the voter rolls were maintained, that allowed for the creation of falsified records that could be used in mail-in ballot schemes. But Tom said that the paper was so complicated that he needed someone like me to, you know, I have a PhD in political science, I've studied cryptography, I've done very, very advanced mathematical work in political science. And so Tom sent me the paper. It took me about a week. I called up Tom Connors. I said, Paquette's 100% right. I said, I don't know how he cracked the code in New York State, but it was genius work. Cracking codes is not easy to do.
Mm-mm.
And on God's Five Stones, we now have about 10 states listed. We'll soon be up adding it, about to go up to 15 states. And you see Paquette's papers on each one. The papers are extremely complicated and will be probably beyond the mathematical ability of most people to read and understand. But what helps is I've got also articles I've published that explain the work. And then we have archived a lot of interviews and videos. We'll put this one up as well so people can hear the explanation, which is a lot easier to follow when I give the basics of it. So here's the ABCs of what happens. Some criminals, and I'm not entirely sure who, hacked into the computers and the servers in the state board of elections in every state I've looked at. This is not, I have not found a state yet that has not been penetrated with their computer system. Okay, and what they criminals do is they put codes in there, and the codes are complicated, but it's kind of like a card marking scheme. You know, you can't put your marked cards into a fresh deck from the manufacturer because they'd be the ones out of order. You know, when you get cards from a manufacturer in cellophane in a box and they're ordered from the high card in the high suit to the low card in the low suit. So you gotta mix them up. And when you've done that, you can create what I'm calling modified duplicates. Clones is a word we're originally using clones, and I think people find clone a little bit harder to understand than modified duplicate. So there may be four Jerome Corsis in the Oregon database, and they are modified. They may have different dates of birth, or they might have different addresses. Okay, but when you do a match for same name, about 15% of every database I've looked at, with very few exceptions, 15% of the records are duplicate names. Now, there are cases where, you know, you might have duplicate names and be different people, but then about between 6 to 10% of them are same name and same age. Okay, now same name, same age. You know, there may be another Jerome Corsi. I live in New Jersey. There may be another one here. But another Jerome Corsi at my age, that would be, the probability of that would be very low. You know, it's not a common name. If it was Smith, there might be two Smiths, the same name.
Sure.
But, you know, so this is a huge percentage. So let's focus on Florida.
Yeah, well, absolutely. Because in a database of 3 million voters, 6%, that's 180,000 fictitious votes.
Yeah.
So let's actually take a break right there, because I know that this is super good information and I would hate to interrupt your flow any more than I have to. So coming back, we'll be dealing with Florida and some fictitious voters there. It is an example of how widespread this could be across the entire nation. All that with Dr. Jerome Corsi. And welcome back. This is the iSpy Radio Show. We're talking today to Dr. Jerome Corsi. We're continuing a discussion from last week with Peter Ticton, who is the attorney looking into Florida 14 and looking at some potentially fictitious voters there. And in the process of looking at that, they may have discovered as many as 2 million voters or more that are fictitious across the states. And so I hated to interrupt you, but I knew that this is explanation is going to take a bit. So go ahead and continue your thoughts there with what's happening in Florida.
Well, in Florida, we're challenging Peter Ticton, the lawyer, President Trump's lawyer. They've They went to high school together, the military school, and they've known each other since 17 years old.
Wow.
And so President Trump has assigned to Peter Tichtin to investigate the theft, really, of the 2020 election, but focusing on 2024 and seeing how the mail-in ballot schemes were pulled off, how the thefts have occurred. And so Peter reached out to Andrew Paquette and me, because Paquette had done the work to crack the codes. He's found the coding system that's in the computers of the state boards of election across the country, which ought to be pretty alarming to everybody.
Yes, absolutely.
And I'm, my job has been, you know, I'm a political scientist with extensive mathematical background. I've conducted randomized field experiments for the National Science Foundation, and I understood the codes, and I was able now to explain them. So Florida, we're challenging some cases, and I'll discuss that in a minute. But what we found in Florida is the 2024 voter roll that was used in Florida by the Board of Election for the 2024 presidential election has 16 million records, of which nearly 3 million have same first and last names. Now, that's 14% of the database. Now, there could be some of those people who are different people. But of the 16 million voters, almost a million have same name and same age matches, which is statistically very, very suspicious.
Yes, it would be.
So what we've done is Peter Tichtin is hired in Florida. People are going out and canvassing, and they're finding out that the vast majority of these people who have same name and same age are the same person, just having gotten two voter IDs. Because see, the one second, I'm going to grab something here. The key of this scheme is if you can create a modified duplicate, so like there's four Jerome Corsis, and they each have a different birth date, but they're all the same age on election date, those look like different people. So they each get a state voter ID number. So there's four Jerome Corsis then that have voter IDs and can be voted, even though three of them are fictional. So I'm starting to get, people are mailing me. I got yesterday in, you know, of the mail, someone in New York, and same address in Brooklyn, same name, but his first name is Sydney, and one of them was mailed to S-I-D-N-E-Y, and the other one was mailed to S-Y-D-N-E-Y. Just a different spelling of Sydney. Now, in a database, those are going to look like two people. So he got two mail-in ballots, which he could vote both of them if he wanted to. Okay, even though one is fictitious. Now, it's even more insidious when the duplicates that are modified are hidden in the database. Again, going back to my card marking scheme.
Mm-hmm.
So now, by the algorithms, you shuffle these into the deck. And if you look at one of them, it looks like a legitimate record, because how would you know whether S-I-D-N-E-Y or S-Y-D-N-E-Y is the right spelling of the name? And you'd give them both state IDs. If they were hidden in the database, then I'm the criminal. Let's just imagine that. And I'm in there. I'm running the state board of election computer. They don't maybe know it, but I'm running it. And I say, okay, well, it looks like we're behind 10,000 votes. So I just pick up 10,000 of my fictitious modified duplicates, and I have the computer request a mail-in ballot. Now, I probably don't mail those to anybody because there's no point to it. This, I have to get them quickly printed and run through the tabulation machine. I may have them a bunch pre-printed that can be easily generated by the computer to go to the tabulator and just be run through the machine. So now my 10,000 modified fictitious voters that don't exist are voted for the Democrat, run through the machine, and counted. Okay, and then that's how you see in 2020, one explanation of why they stopped counting in the battleground states like Georgia and Pennsylvania and Arizona. And then when they start counting again, Biden suddenly has popped up on top and stays on top through the rest of the election. Because again, the ballots that were printed and selected were voted largely, if not entirely, for Biden. And it's not apparent even to the poll watchers or the inspectors, because most states do not allow detailed hand inspection of the mail-in ballots. So you can't tell if they were folded, if they look like they were mailed. The states do not scrub their databases for these duplicate records. It takes some skill to find them. And, mostly the states say, well, we got rid of the people who died and who moved out of the state. Well, those may not be the ones the criminals want to use. They may be just going back through the inactive voters and creating 15% of the database to be inactive voters duplicated with modifications that no one's going to detect. They might be moved out of the state. And, in Georgia, we found that 3,000 people were voted early. And in fact, some of them, computer said, showed up in person. But, we couldn't find records of them in person. When we looked at the database after the voting started officially, the day of election, those 3,000 records were removed from the database. So they put them in the database, voted them, and disappeared them.
Listening to you describe all of this, it is just stunning to think that people in the mainstream media, who are obviously part of this, would even consider saying there's no evidence of voter fraud. There was a case actually just this last election that I thought really went underreported, and it happened in Michigan. And you're probably familiar with this, where an attorney, Matthew DiPerno, he was working independently. He found that there was widespread misuse of this, where one voter was connected to 29 different ballots cast across the state. And after he reviewed the qualified voter file of votes actually cast, it identified 114,000 and change Michigan voters who had cast 279,000 ballots, resulting in 164,568 excess ballots. And those were thankfully removed, but that margin of victory there in Michigan for Trump was only 80,000. So had they not been able to remove those, Michigan would have gone for Kamala. So, all right, let's go and take a break. There is still so much more to cover here with Dr. Jerome Corsi talking about clone voters. Stay with us. And welcome back. We're talking about clone voters or modified duplicates, if you prefer. And we're doing that with Dr. Jerome Corsi. He's a New York Times bestselling author, and you can visit his website, CorsiNation.com, and also be sure to visit God's5Stones.com. That's all spelled out, God's5Stones.com, and we'll be sure to link that up on today's show page, which is 15-11 on iSpyRadio.com. And Dr. Corsi, we just finished talking about that case here in Michigan that had more than double the margin of victory in fictitious voters that could have been counted for Kamala. But thankfully, they were caught in time. And during the break, you were saying you had other examples that are even more astounding.
Well, let's look at Florida, because President Trump's longtime attorney, Peter Tickton, T-I-C-K-T-I-N, who I'm working with to expose this fraud and to get it. We have a plan. The president has a plan to deal with this. And I'm going to explain what the president's plan is that we're working on. We're working to implement his plan. In Florida, the 14th District, which is Tampa and St. Petersburg, a Republican challenger named Rocky Rockford lost to the Democrat incumbent Kathy Castor. Now, what happened was that this is in Pinellas County, and only two counties did this in Florida, but Pinellas County, in early September, like 2 months before the election, there was a request for 196,986, well, about 197,000 mail-in ballots were suddenly requested.
Mm-hmm.
That didn't happen in any of the other counties except one in Florida. Okay, and so Florida's law requires these requests for mail-in ballots to have the last four digits of a Social Security number or the person's driver's license. And in all of these 197,000 mail-in ballot requests, the vast majority of them had neither information. They were called no-no, and they should have been discarded. But instead, the Board of Elections in Florida allowed mail-in ballots to be sent to these people, and they were returned, and they were counted. So Peter Tickton has found that all through Florida, there were 592,000 no-no ballots requested for mail-in ballots by different people in the voter registration roll. They were still mailed a ballot, even though it was an illegal request. And of those, 475,340, 80%, were returned to the counties and tabulated.
Hmm.
So that's about 500,000 illegal votes just in that scheme, where, you know, you get people who are maybe even non-existent, these modified duplicates, all, you know, 200,000 of them in this one county say we want a mail-in ballot, and of them, the vast majority are coming back and getting counted. Well, you know, you so someone like Rockford, who is a very close election, when all these get counted, Castor suddenly wins. Okay, now, that's the kind of fraud that goes on. Now, the strategy that we're implementing, and by the way, I want to make another point, which is that according to the Help America Vote Act in 2002, it is inherently illegal for a voter to have more than one State Board of Election voter ID number. And in this scheme, I'm showing you maybe as many as 15%, more likely between 6 and 10% of the entire voter registration roll in every state I'm looking at are illegal duplicates, modified duplicates. So, you know, we don't have to challenge that an election was stolen. All I've got to say is the state is using a criminal database for the voting because it's criminal to have those records in there. You can't duplicate records in the database and leave them there, and the states aren't removing them. They don't even know they exist. They don't even know how to find them. They don't suspect anybody's penetrated their computer system. They're completely naive, or they're criminal. And so this is, we don't have to, you know, all the challenges that were made in courts, everybody said, well, the court challenges don't work. The courts wouldn't take the case. The prior challenges were trying to overturn a certified election because the people doing the, you know, the responsible for certifying an election in the states were also compromised by these criminals, and they just went along with it. They didn't do the hand inspection of the ballots. They didn't see if the mail-in ballots were folded and mailed. They didn't see if they had signs of postmark. They didn't see if they were pre-printed. There's lots of things they didn't check.
Well, what you're describing, I think, really begs the question is who is doing all of this? Because obviously, if somebody is overriding Florida law and they get 196,000 and change mail-in ballot requests out of the blue all on one day, somebody managed to okay that. And so are election officials looking to be held responsible? I mean, can you even tell who okayed those?
At the moment, we're going to need, and where this is headed, it's going to take FBI investigations across the country. It's going to take subpoena power. Now, if we had computer experts get into the servers in the states, we go down to the machine code and we could look at the compilers and we could figure out a great deal about how this was done. But these states aren't going to let you do that because they know they're running criminal, crooked databases and they don't care. And I say that because, you know, you miss a credit card payment, you get notified right away.
Sure.
You know, you get it on an airplane and you get your seat assignment by your cell phone. You know, you actually scan your cell phone to get on the airplane, and there's not somebody else sitting in your seat.
Okay? Well, the other question here, too, is how large of an organization is this in the sense that is this coordinated across multiple states, or is it bad actors within single states acting independently? What's your suspicion on that?
Well, it's a very complicated scheme, probably a combination, because each of the states we found have a code that permits the creation of these modified duplicates, the hiding of them, and then the use of them when the criminals want to use them. But the schemes are different. They vary state to state. And that's why it takes Peter Ticton, you know, analysis state by state to figure out what exactly was the fraud committed in that state. But it's all a matter of the modified duplicates in these huge numbers being used and voted. And now we've gotten the ability to show that they were used and voted, and we can demonstrate pretty precisely how the state, someone, the criminals operating these systems are doing. I think it's an intelligence operation, intelligence agency operation penetrating our elections, And I believe that there are criminals involved, that, you know, whether it's Democrat or Republican or a combination. We don't have that kind of data yet, and yeah. I'm not going to make accusation. I know, you know, and certainly in 2020, the scheme was used to make sure Biden defeated Trump, and the election was stolen.
Yeah.
In 2024, you'll notice that all the battleground states, seven of them, including, you know, Arizona and Wisconsin and Michigan and Georgia and Pennsylvania, you run the list, they all ended counting for the presidential election on election night, and they all reported for Trump.
Yeah, wasn't that something, how that happened? So, okay, let's go ahead and take a break. There's still so much more to cover about these undocumented duplicates. We're doing that with Jerome Corsi. Everyone stay with us. Taking a look at our voter rolls today. We're doing that with Dr. Jerome Corsi, talking about clone voters or modified duplicates, if you prefer. And so there is so much more still to unpack with this. And I guess one of the questions I have is as far as these modified duplicates go, where they're springing out these clone voters at the last minute to suddenly flip the results for Democrats, do you ever see this happening in Republican races to flip it for Republicans?
I haven't found that. Of course, you know, we haven't looked. These algorithms have been in the state servers, the Board of Election official server for the voter rolls, since as long as 2004 or 2007 in different states. So I don't know how many people have been elected by the algorithms and not by the voters. Hmm. But, you know, at the moment, it doesn't seem to me with the suicidal self-destruction of the Democratic Party that there are really this many Democrats, that the margins are so tight.
Yeah.
In the House and Senate.
Yeah.
So these would need to be, I think, as many as 20 House seats and maybe 5 Senate seats were stolen. As I mentioned earlier in the previous segment, in 2020, you saw how the modus operandi of utilizing these modified duplicates in these mail-in ballot scheme was done, because the counting stopped, and then all these mail-in ballots appear overnight miraculously and are voted for Biden the next morning. Biden suddenly beats Trump. He's ahead of Trump at the count and goes on to victory. Well, in 2024, the presidential election, that didn't happen.
Mm-mm.
All the states stopped counting on election night and voted for Trump and reported for Trump. And we were prepared to catch them.
Yeah, I think that was a big part of why they didn't cheat in the presidential election. But you have a great article there on American Thinker, which we'll put up on today's show notes. On today's show is 15-11. Because to me, it was very suspicious that they didn't really pick up any seats. But as you say, the margins are so small in the House and the Senate. It's like they were so focused on the presidential race that they forgot these other races. And in some of those, some of the down ballot races, when you look at the combined totals in there, they got more votes than Trump did at the top of the ticket. And that's itself is very suspicious, because almost always in any election, the people at the top of that ticket, whether it's the president or the governor or whoever, that's the one that most people vote for because they know the most about, because that's the most talked about race. But for some reason, for these congressmen and senators to get more votes than Trump did, that's pretty suspicious. I'd like to go back a little bit into these algorithms, because in some of my research, one of the more alarming aspects of this is these voters, these fictitious voters, are hidden within the database, but then they can be activated by the algorithm only during the election via mail-in ballots, and then after the election is done, they can be wiped so you can never see that they're there. Is my understanding of that correct?
Yes. Sometimes they leave them there, or they create multiples so that they have extras to use and eliminate, and then there's still some remaining. There's different ways the scheme is used. But the point is, you couldn't do this kind of a complicated election manipulation surreptitiously, so it wouldn't have been detected for all these years, unless it were cryptographically sound, and this would require intelligence agency level assets. And you'd have to get into the computers at the State Board of Elections. So they probably didn't know about it. They may have had Confederates that helped them. I can't, again, prove that. And I'm trying to stick to things we can prove. I know the computers were penetrated by whom I don't know yet, but by the time we get to the department, and I want to explain to you what President Trump's strategy is. We have a complete strategy for how we're attacking this problem, which is very different from the way it was attacked in 2020. we intend to win.
Right. Well, let's hold off on discussing that strategy, and we'll cover that in the next segment here. As far as these fictitious voters are concerned, this is concerning, especially to places like Oregon, which is 100% vote by mail, and that's how this fraud is able to be affected. It's one thing to have 100,000 fictitious voters on the rolls, and then they all get sent mail-in ballots and are magically sent back. It's very different to have 100,000 fictitious people show up at the polls when they're fictitious. So there is a current lawsuit underway here in Oregon by Judicial Watch, and they're demanding that Oregon clean up its voter rolls, which, as you mentioned, is required by federal law. Judicial Watch calls Oregon's voter rolls the dirtiest in the nation. But here's the thing, is if they're being hidden by an algorithm, would a normal cleanup of its voter rolls get rid of those digitally created voters? Or how would Judicial Watch be able to know, in fact, that these fictitious voters had been removed?
Well, that's part of the problem. And I mean, I'm great friends with Tom Fitton, and I have high, high admiration for the work they've done. This is a little bit more rarefied territory in cryptography and how it works. First of all, it takes real expertise to know how to search the database and find these modified duplicates, because I can modify the address, I can modify the date of birth. I have to have a very complicated formula modifying the date of birth to make sure all my duplicate modified records are the same age on election day, because you can only use 2 years of date of birth prior to that to have that happen. It's very complicated. It's complicated to hide them. It's complicated to retrieve them. But, you know, for instance, let's say that Judicial Watch was effective at getting a lot of the duplicates removed, modified duplicates. They wouldn't get them all. And secondly, if the codes remain in the state computer, I just do it all over again. Say, okay, fine, you got those, so that's good. You have those. Now I'm going to just do it again.
Right.
Well, no, I did it the next day. It won't take me 20 minutes to replace them.
Yeah.
Okay, because I've got the computer rigged where all I have to do is say, find me the voters of this characteristics and make these modifications. And I can do that all with a computer program. So the state will never know it. The state will come out with a statement, oh, the Secretary of State, we have the cleanest state. As long as you've got mail-in ballots, you have fraud. Mail-in ballots, unless they're tightly controlled, like the old absentee system. And what a state like Oregon does is they add another dimension to the fraud, and that is they send out vote harvesters who go out to the homeless communities or, you know, the nursing homes where people don't know what they're doing, and they get these people to sign voter registrations with their Social Security numbers, their driver's licenses, their names, and they have the ballots mailed to them. So you get, you know, 100 addresses, which are the parking lot next to the courthouse.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, we saw some of that in another lawsuit where people had fictitious addresses, empty lots, all sorts of things. So, okay, it is time for a break coming up. We're going to talk about Trump's strategy to win. We'll be doing that with Dr. Jerome Corsi. Stay with us. Before we get going, I want to give you a heads up that I've been invited to speak again to the Capital City Republican Women's Group in Salem coming up on Thursday, April 10th. While I'm still narrowing it down, it being Easter, my talk will primarily be focused on faith. And while faith doesn't need evidence, it is nice when there's evidence that can strengthen and increase your faith and, from of all places, science. I'll share a bit more about the topic as we get closer to the date, but if you'd like to go, they do need to know that you're coming. Please RSVP by April 7th. You can do that by dropping me an email, Mark, that's M-A-R-K, Mark at iSpyRadio.com, and I will forward that to them. That's Thursday, April 7th from 11:30 to 1, and you can find out more details by heading to today's show page, 15-11 on iSpyRadio.com. On today's show, we've been talking about clone voters. We're doing that with Dr. Jerome Corsi, and this is the insertion via an algorithm of fictitious voters into the voter rolls, which makes it very hard to find, and even a normal audit wouldn't find these. You need another algorithm to find that the voters created by the first algorithm. And so, Dr. Corsi, you had mentioned in that last segment there that Trump has a strategy to win. So why don't you walk us through that?
I will, and you know, Donald Trump has been informed by his attorney, Peter Tichtin, of what we're doing, and the strategy. These are two brilliant people. And they get that this is going to take, you know, FBI subpoenas. It's going to take top cryptographers to crack these codes and get them out of there. But let me give you the strategy. Number one is there are court filings. So the election in this Florida District 14, Rocky Rockford has been challenged in court. There's a filing in Tallahassee, the state capital, saying the Florida State Board of Election voter registration database is corrupt beyond repair. You know, FUBAR so badly, it's beyond repair. Okay, and an investigation has also been filed with the House of Representatives in the federal under the Federal Contested Elections Act to unseat the current incumbent, who is a woman named Castor. Okay, so that's one legal strategy. And I don't think the legal strategy is necessarily going to succeed. It's certainly going to take time. And, you know, we're under time pressure here because we're under instructions from Donald Trump to get these algorithms out of the State Board of Elections before the 2026
right.
midterm elections, or the Democrats will just steal the House and Senate races and ruin President Trump's last 2 years with the repeat of the resistance and the Antifa and the impeachment. I mean, they already are doing lawfare, and we're not even 2 months into the – there are federal judges who say you can't fire anybody, you can't be president. Okay, so what we're going to do, and this show is part of it, and really the beginning of it, because this is the first interview I've done under this new strategy, which we've devised in the last week or so, which is we're going full blast to tell the public about this. We're raising more money under God's Five Stones. We're raising more money in general across the board, and I'll give you also President Trump's 501c3 here in just a minute. But what we're going to do is we're going to publicize, make the American public aware of it. I'm going to beat the drums loudly so that within a month or two, I think everybody in the country is going to be talking about algorithms in the database and the computers, who penetrated them. Now, President Trump doesn't have to wait very long, because once we've demonstrated this, and God's Five Stones got report after report after report, and these are mathematically sound. It's like you may not like, you know, geometry, but the Pythagorean theorem, you're not going to disprove because it's been around for 2,000 years and it works. Well, once you see these algorithms, you can't say that they're not there.
Hmm.
I've had any number of states say, oh, well, we may have an algorithm, but it wasn't used. You don't know that, Mr. Secretary of State. They're smarter than you are. You're not trained. You don't have the discipline. Now, President Trump is going to recognize that if the computers of our state boards of election have been penetrated by cyber attacks, wherever they came from, foreign nations could be running our computers. We could be having Russia or China or Iran or who knows in our computers trying to determine who's president. That's a national security emergency. We cannot let our states have computers be penetrated by who knows who and operated by who knows who. This is not the Dominion computers. I'm not talking about votes being switched. Votes sometimes get switched. I've run lots of election counting operations, studied them. The votes when elections are coming in, data's coming in, often changes in election night. I'm talking about a crime, prima facie, inside the computer that can be proved when no voting is going on because the fictitious duplicate records are inherently criminal. Under HAVA, they can't be there, and the states can't get rid of them. So what we're going to need to do is have a fundamental different system. We're going to have President Trump have an executive order saying every state database that exists is no longer valid and may not be used in a presidential election. The states are going to have to be mandated to, you know, the states under the Constitution control how the elections are conducted. But the president can set terms on national security, say, you figure out how you want to do your system in your state, however you want to do it. But it's got to make sure that we don't have modified duplicates. And so, therefore, you got to make sure it has no algorithms in it to the best of your ability. So it means we're going to have to start with people coming in and re-registering in person. It'd be nice to get voter IDs so you really know who these people are, instead of motor vehicle and every other scheme the Democrats can figure out, vote harvesting and drop-in boxes and all the criminal schemes they can figure out to make elections not work. Then secondly, we're going to have to go to paper. You're going to have to mark them with hand. They're going to have to be paper counted. At least that's a first step to getting some security into the system. And once the, you know, what I've learned over my life, and one of the bankers, Walter Wriston, when I was in banking, I had a whole career with working. In fact, I was in Portland. I lived in Portland, Oregon. I lived in Portland Plaza, downtown by the City Hall.
I'm sure that was back when it was nice.
It was nice. You could actually walk around, and that thing was all spray painted, and the stores were open, and people were actually enjoying the city instead of having this radical nutcase stuff going on in the streets. And that, I think, is about to come to an end. I think there's no good idea the Democrats have had since John Kennedy was assassinated.
No.
Lyndon Johnson said, "Oh, let's go to Vietnam." Well, that was a great idea, wasn't it?
Yeah, really.
Okay, now the point I'm making is that with a national security emergency, the American public, you know, so Wriston said to me, I said, "Mr. Wriston, you can't sell annuities and insurance in banks. Glass-Steagall prevents it." And he said, "Well, Dr. Corsi, you don't understand banking. First, we change the business, and then the regulations change, or we change the regulators." Mm. Well, that worked. I was in Portland, Oregon, a company called Marketing One. We had offices downtown, and we were working with banks all over the country. Ultimately, I created two companies that sold $1 billion a year and $1 billion in mutual funds and $1 billion in annuities. And we largely created the annuity business through banks. I did that for about 20 years. But the point here is, once the public understands the real problem, which is in the state computers penetrated by criminals that may be foreign countries, the people are going to demand a change.
I would certainly hope so. It's that getting people to understand, I think, that is going to be so critical. We are up against the clock. Everyone stay with us. We'll wrap up with Dr. Jerome Corsi after this. And we're back in our final segment now here on the iSpire Radio Show. We've been talking with Dr. Jerome Corsi about clone voters. These are fictitious voters inserted into the voter rolls that can magically vote using vote by mail. So just to wrap up here, you were talking about getting the importance of getting the public involved. So why don't you continue your thoughts on that?
Well, this is a fraud that's being conducted right within the computer server that runs the State Board of Election. And I'm sure that the vast majority of secretaries of states couldn't find it if their lives depended on it, because it's complicated. It's going to take cryptographers to find it, but we found it, we've cracked it, and godsfivestones.com documents that with many states and more to be added. Now, we have a legal strategy, and we're going to implement it, but the real thing is, I think we've got a national security crisis here. The point I'm making is, once the public understands the severity of this crime and the integrity of our voting is at stake, well, the voting laws are going to change, or the secretaries of states are going to all lose their elections and they're going to be replaced. You know, so either the people get aware and the business changes, we're not doing this anymore, we're not having voter fraud anymore, it's over, it's been exposed, and this is not the cases that were brought in 2020 that lost in the courts. This is a much better strategy, because we can find criminality inherent in the state databases, and the secretaries of states, once they're aware of this, they're going to be criminally responsible, possibly, if they don't do something about it.
Hmm.
President Trump with an executive order. So, you know, once the public is awakened, then either the election system changes, or the regulators, the secretaries of states regulating the elections change. But the public is not going to tolerate this anymore once it's understood. And President Trump has come up with a brilliant strategy to break through this. I have to say, in his second term, President Trump is coming up with some almost God-inspired strategies that break through things. I mean, you know, tariffs, the idea that we might make Greenland a part of the United States, Canada, we're going to take the Panama Canal. I mean, these are brilliant breakthrough ideas. Tariffs. Donald Trump's bringing back America in a very, very fast way. And these Democrats, I don't think it's a Democratic Party anymore. It's a neo-Marxist, cultural Maoist party. I'm tired of calling them Democrats. They don't have a good idea that works. They want to kill babies. They want to inject us with vaccines that don't work. They want to do all kinds of dangerous stuff. They hate America. I just watched them sitting there when President Trump gave his speech. I haven't seen a more hateful group of people in my life.
No. If you can't stand up and applaud the dreams and aspirations of a child that survived brain cancer, something is seriously wrong with you. One quick question, I hope, because we've only got about a minute and change here with you. As far as those clone voters are concerned, is that just in the voter rolls, or is there some kind of mechanism also within the machine that do the counting?
There may be, and the machines do the counting, but that's going to be a much harder thing to win a court because there's lots of reasons why they change. It's complicated. I want to get rid of the machines altogether.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, real quick, what can people do? I mean, if somebody wanted to help fund an investigation, say, into Oregon's voter rolls, what would that cost?
Well, it costs about $10,000 because we have to get the voter roll. Oregon's not going to cooperate with us and give us the voter roll. We're then going to have to put it into a SQL database or something where we can search it according to cryptographic experts who know how to find these modified duplicates. And we're going to have to have Andrew Paquette write it up into a technical paper that I'm going to have to go in the media and really make explain it to people in terms that the average person can understand. And I'm willing to spend 24 hours a day if we have to do this on radio, television, and writing in order to get this out there. Mm. So we need a urgent campaign right now because in 2025, we have to break through to the public to understand that this is a national security problem.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's going to take a national security solution to make it to solve.
Yes. And well, you know, here in Oregon, we pioneered vote by mail. It would not surprise me that we also help pioneer the algorithms and the behind the curtain mechanisms to allow for that kind of cheating. Certainly seen it here. Unfortunately, we are up against clock. Dr. Corsi, I want to thank you so much for your time today.
A great pleasure. And say, I want to give a shout out to all my friends in Oregon. I really enjoyed my time up there. It's a beautiful state. I love living in Portland, Oregon. I'm sorry it got wrecked by the insane mad left.
Yeah. Dr. Corsi sent us a funding proposal that we will put up on today's show page, 15-11, on iSpyRadio.com. Just scroll down to the show notes section to see that. As you can imagine, this is a pretty big boulder to push uphill, and doing that is going to involve getting around the mainstream media, which, with President Trump's support and big microphone, that's doable. Investigating voter rolls when states want to stop you from looking, because there's nothing at all suspicious about that, as well as developing the algorithm to find the algorithm the state is using, will take about $10,000 per state. Wouldn't it be fantastic to be part of finally forcing Oregon to reveal what's behind the curtain? If we pioneered vote by mail, you can bet we also pioneered the mechanism and means to cheat, because it was never just about convenience. Check iSpyRadio.com, show 15-11 for how you can help, and if you can help, please do so. Because as we say every week, the best information does you no good if you don't use it. Reagan, what do you think?
I do not believe in a fate that will fall on us no matter what we do. I do believe in a fate that will fall on us if we do nothing.
It's more than a show. It's self-defense. The I Spy Radio Show.